New heading. Slander. Speaking against. The English word slander is most often used to translate a cluster of Hebrew and Greek words in Scripture that all relate to a particular pattern of sinful speech. However, the English word slander is not really an adequate translation of these terms. The dictionary defines it as the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. A person who slanders in the modern English sense issues charges and accusations that contradict the true facts of a case. The charges are false and distorted. In contrast, the biblical words for slander focus less on the truth or falsehood underlying the charges made, and more on the inappropriateness of making them in the first place. One of the Greek words used in the New Testament to express this concept can be literally translated as speaking against, katalalos. The word means to make personal accusations and charges that one has no authority to make. The word does not imply that the charges are false, only that one does not have the right to make them. This understanding of slander is echoed clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, an authoritative compendium of Jewish law from the 16th century. There is a much graver sin than talebearing, and this is slander, that is, when a man talks disparagingly about someone, although he is telling the truth. If one maliciously invents untruths about a person, he is guilty of defamation of character as well. A slanderer is one who says, so-and-so has done such and such a thing, so-and-so were his parents, such and such a thing have I heard about him. And the nature of the thing tends to disgrace him. The decree of annihilation against our forefathers in the wilderness was sealed only on account of their tendency to slander. According to this definition, slander occurs especially when the facts summoned are accurate. It is a sin because the facts are summoned for the purpose of dishonoring and disgracing an individual. This understanding of slander is closer to the biblical notion than is the modern understanding. We can look to the book of James for one of the clearest New Testament passages prohibiting slander, speaking against. Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? James 4, verses 11 to 12. The law that James speaks of here is probably the second great commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, which he referred to earlier in his letter, James 2, verse 8. To judge here means to judge unfavorably, to condemn. It is synonymous with speaking against. To speak against a brother or sister is thus to assume a position of authority over them, a position in which one has the right to evaluate and render an authoritative verdict on their conduct. To judge is to investigate facts, weigh evidence, hear charges, render a verdict, and pronounce a sentence. When we take this position in relation to a brother or sister when God has not given us the authority to do so, we find ourselves also speaking against and judging and condemning the law of God, which commands us to love our brothers and sisters. Thus, we end up in the precarious position of judging and speaking against God, who instituted this law. This passage in James, along with Yeshua's words against judging others in Matthew 7, verses 1 to 2, which James appears to be commenting on, must be viewed with other New Testament passages that speak of the proper type of judgment to be found within the body of Messiah. For example, Paul writes, "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more matters of this life?" 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 through 3. In some situations, God gives us the authority to act as a judge, to investigate facts, weigh evidence, hear charges, render a verdict, and even pronounce a sentence. A parent acts as a judge in a family every time he or she tries to sort out a squabble among the children. A leader in a religious community is to act as a judge in many situations. When God gives us the authority to act as a judge, we must do so with grace, love, and concern for others, as well as with strength and firmness. But when God has not given us this authority, then we must not act as though he has. This is the heart of James's message to us. In the many passages in the New Testament that forbid us to slander or speak against others, three Greek words are often translated as the English word slander. However, the words have slightly different meanings, and these nuances can help us understand how serious slander is. The first word, katalalos, is used in James 4, verses 11 through 12, and, as noted earlier, can be literally translated as speaking against. Other New Testament prohibitions of slander that use this word are found in Romans 1, verse 30, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20, and 1 Peter 2, verse 1. The second Greek word often translated slander is diabolos, literally slanderer, the same word often used in the New Testament to refer to Satan. The English word devil is derived from this term. The intimate identification of slander with the evil one demonstrates clearly the New Testament revulsion in the face of this type of wrongdoing. The word is used in 1 Timothy 3, verse 11, 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, and Titus 2, verse 3, to refer to slander on the purely human level. The third word for slander is blasphemia, which has been transferred into the English language with some change in meaning. The English word blasphemy denotes an act of sacrilege, an act of speaking against God or against that which is closely associated with him. In New Testament Greek, however, the word simply means to speak badly of someone, be it God, man, or angel. In many instances in the New Testament, this word clearly refers to speaking against human beings, and this action is condemned accordingly. See Matthew 15, verse 19, Ephesians 4, verse 31, Colossians 3, verse 8, 1 Timothy 6, verse 4, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. A passage from Titus is especially clear. Remind them to be subtle to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Titus 3, verses 1 to 2. Whether the word be katalalos, diabolos, or blasphemia, we see that the meaning is essentially the same. We are forbidden by Scripture to speak of one another in a way that destroys that person's reputation or questions his or her basic righteousness or competence, except in a very few specific and limited situations. The purpose of some teachings in Scripture may be hidden from us, and we obey these instructions simply because God ordained them. But the prohibition of slander, speaking against, is not among these. The practice of speaking against others destroys trust and undermines committed personal relationships. I had an opportunity to reflect on this fact recently as I conversed with an old friend. He lived in a different city than I did and participated in the leadership of a religious organization there. As he described the inner workings of the group, he made it clear to me who were the good guys and who were the bad guys. I was not conscious of the fact at the time, but my opinions about the people he described were being formed by the information and perspectives he passed on to me. If I were to meet any of those bad guys today, I would distrust them immediately. My opinions were set before having any immediate personal contact with the individuals concerned. I had no way to verify my friend's observations, but my mind had already absorbed them. My friend had no reason or authority to speak to me of these internal affairs, and I had no right to hear them. This is the way slander works. It catches us off guard and plants in us an orientation of suspicion, criticalness, and mistrust. In Jewish tradition, the great biblical example of slander is the incident of Miriam and Aaron speaking against Moses. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he married a Cushite woman. And they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well? And the Lord heard it. Numbers 12, verses 1 and 2. We must remember that Moses was the brother of Miriam and Aaron. We therefore find two causes of slander in this passage, two causes that are just as common today as they must have been in ancient Israel. First, we see a family dispute. Look at the woman he married. She is a foreigner, a stranger. She's not one of our people. She's never really learned to speak Hebrew well. Have you heard how she rolls her R's? And with all this against her, she has the nerve to act as though she's superior to us, and just because she's the wife of Moses. The family dispute then shifted into a complaint against authority. I do think that Moses has been getting a bit uppity as of late. All that time on the mountain must be getting to him. He's beginning to act as if he's the sole oracle of God, the only leader in Israel. Now, don't get me wrong. I admit that Moses did an okay job of getting us out of Egypt. But remember, Aaron is the eloquent one, the one who can really handle himself before a group of people. He was Moses' spokesman in Egypt, and he is now the high priest of Israel. And Miriam has always been a fine prophetic leader. Do you remember her marvelous dance by the Red Sea? So why is Moses the one who always gives the orders? As the passage says, the Lord heard the complaining words of Miriam and Aaron. As a father deals with bickering children, God now called them forward and dealt with them. Suddenly, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, You three come out to the tent of meeting. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent, and he called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even openly, and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses? Numbers 12, verses 4 through 8. God then punished Miriam with a temporary case of leprosy, a disease that indicated her state of uncleanness before God. We judge from the punishment that she was the main instigator behind the sin. This passage helps explain the Jewish view expressed in the earlier quote from Shulchan Aruch. The decree of annihilation against our forefathers in the wilderness was sealed only on account of their tendency to slander. The two causes of slander in Numbers 12 also operate among us. Many of us yield to the impulse to speak against members of our family or our in-laws. Resentments that have accumulated over the years find release through our mouths, though in fact, speaking out of resentment does not release it, but only increases our bitterness. Many of us also yield to the urge to complain about our boss or our spiritual leaders. This kind of speech pattern builds distrust toward the person in leadership and makes it all the more difficult for them to exercise their authority and for others to submit to it. We may not be punished with leprosy when we speak in these ways, but we may be sure that God is not pleased with us. Scripture takes slander, speaking against, very seriously. It would certainly endorse the words of Francis de Sales. Rash judgment begets uneasiness, contempt of neighbor, pride, self-satisfaction, and many other extremely bad effects. Slander, the true plague of society, holds first place among them. I wish that I had a burning coal taken from the holy altar to purify men's lips so that their iniquities might be removed and their sins washed away, as did the seraphim who purified Isaiah's mouth. The man who could free the world of slander would free it of a large share of its sins and iniquity. Slander is one of the most common and deadly forms of verbal aggression found in our society today, and it is one from which Yeshua followers are not immune. If we could root out slander from our families, work sites, and communities, our relationships with others would improve dramatically. and our lives would conform more closely to God's plan.